88?
We feel great. Our 12th man stood up today, and they screamed their butts off.
A bunch of different guys making plays.
He's hit as he throws the ball through. It's picked up by Walden.
Just the way the team, we stuck together. We kept fighting. Just showed what type of team we had.
Way downfield to T.Y. He's got it. He's going to score. He's going to score.
You know, you always want to win at home. We've got such great fans.
He's going to take it himself. He's going to bootleg it and score. Andrew Luck from 6 yards out.
It's time for Off-Season Horseshoe FAQ on The Last Word on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan.
Hey, welcome inside the Taco Bell studio. I'm Matt Taylor on a special online edition of Horseshoe FAQ. Frequently asked questions on the Indianapolis Colts, and boy, do we have a lot to get into this week. As Kevin Bowen, our insider from Colts.com, is here to sort out all the events from this past week. If you've lived under a rock, where you been? Free agency started on Tuesday. It's the start of the new NFL year, and the Colts were active right out of the gate, signing several of their own at the beginning of the week on Tuesday, and they have also brought in a couple of new additions who factor to play huge minutes and huge roles in 2014. And Kevin, before we really start to break everything down, I have no idea where we're going to start, but we'll figure this out as we go. You know, living here in this market and following the Colts for basically my entire life, I remember always paying attention to free agency, right, but not like I have the last couple of years, because under the old regime, with Bill Polian and Jim Caldwell and Tony Dungy, free agency just wasn't that big of a deal because they never made that big of a splash in it. They didn't think that was the way to go about building a team. They were more focused on drafting guys and getting undrafted free agents in here. And I don't think there's any right or wrong way to do it. There's just two different philosophies about it. But with Ryan Grigson and Chuck Pagano, they see a guy that they think can come in here and be a fit and be an upgrade over what they might have had already. Mm-hmm. And they go after him and they bring him in. And so far in the first 2 years, we've gone 11-5 with that philosophy. And so far, it's worked.
It seems like whenever they get a player in this building, it's a done deal. I mean, these guys are great closers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Great recruiters. You've seen Chuck Pagano. He's been mentioned by Arthur Jones and DeQuell Jackson. They've gone out of their way to mention what type of man he is, and they want to be part of this culture, part of this building, the monster. You mentioned Ryan Grigson. When he took over, obviously the cap situation wasn't ideal. I remember being at the Big Ten tournament a couple years ago, and the Colts all of a sudden cut, you know, the likes of Gary Brackett.
That was Black
and
Friday.
Clark.
I remember that day, yeah.
You had to make some tough decisions back in those first early months in his first real free agency class that he brought in. But now with the Colts in a much more healthier cap situation, they are able to make some big moves. And we've seen that. DeQuell Jackson and Arthur Jones, I think, fits both that mold, and Akeem Nicks visiting later today. So this staff and this organization definitely is not afraid to make any big moves. And they know the window and the time is now. You have Andrew Luck in a nice cap situation. Yeah. So you have some money to play with, and you don't have many holes, so you can be selective in your process on picking and choosing who you want to go after and putting all your chips in. And I think so far we've seen a nice start to the 2014 free agency class for the Colts.
As you said, Akeem Nicks is scheduled to be in the Indianapolis Farm Bureau Football Center visiting with the Colts a little bit later today. And as we tape this, obviously it's a podcast online. It's around 10:15 Eastern time in the morning. So if you're listening to this later and something unfolded with Akeem Nicks, now you'll know why. But let's start first and talk about the guys that we re-signed and are bringing back for next year. Guys like Vontae Davis,
yep,
Ahmad Bradshaw, Pat McAfee is back, Adam Vinatieri, Fidi Mawala, Sergio Brown, Justin Hickman. Which of those signings, guys who are coming back for next season and beyond, which of those signings intrigues you the most?
Well, I hate to go with the obvious, but I think Vontae Davis, in the sense of there was a lot of rumors going around. I mean, it was running rampant really late into Tuesday, and he wasn't signed about until the hour into the free agency period opened up on Tuesday afternoon. It was really early evening, around 5 o'clock, I believe, when it came official. But again, we've talked on past Horseshoe FAQs, Matt, and the biggest thing with Vontae is he just fits his defense, and a cornerback of his skill set is so hard to find in the NFL, especially one in your own building. So to have him back here, and again, he went out of his way to credit Chuck Pagano on a Tuesday conference call. This is a guy, when he was drafted, he was just 20 years old. That is very young in terms of NFL standards for guys to come into the league. He left Illinois a year early and was young for his grade when he left after his junior season. He's come over here, and he's admitted that the discipline that Chuck Pagano has not only instilled in him on the field, but also off the field, has helped him out a ton. Mm-hmm. And he talked about raising his family here in Indianapolis. He's going to get married next year. And this is one of the elite cornerbacks in the league. I think every indication now is the next step for him is become a Pro Bowl corner. He was in consideration last year, didn't make it. I think you kind of see that a lot, you know, similar to the NBA All-Star game with Lance Stephenson. You see those guys that maybe should have made it in that first year. They definitely make it in that second year. And with losing Antoine Bethea, it was vital to get Vontae Davis back in the fold because you do have some injury questions with Greg Toler and Laron Landry. They were banged up a little bit last year, so having Vontae back, being able to put him on an island per se or lock him up against a guy like Demaryius Thomas we saw in that Denver game and pretty much shut him down, Vontae's key to this team's success, so it's nice to have him back in the fold for 4 years.
Vontae, earlier in the week, was on a conference call meeting with media reporters, and he talked about having a lot of suitors out there in free agency, but in the end, it means a lot for him, for the Colts to want to bring him back for 4 more years.
Yeah, I mean, it means a lot, but, you know, like I said, I've established some good relationships with the guys, with my coaches. It would have been hard to leave. You know, like it's like leaving your family. And, I mean, it's just a good organization. And, I mean, I look forward to, you know, raising a family. You know, I'm also planning on getting married next year. So everything is happening perfect right now in this situation I'm in. You know, all I can do is thank God about the situation he put me in.
That's Vontae Davis on being excited that the Colts brought him back and Colts fans being excited to have Vontae Davis back. And another guy who is excited to be here, and Colts fans are excited to have him here, is Arthur Jones. Art Jones comes over in free agency from the Baltimore Ravens, and a defensive lineman who's very familiar with Chuck Pagano, very familiar with a 3-4 defense, and Kevin, a guy that is able to play a variety of different positions on the defensive line, very versatile. What else do we know about this guy? What makes him so versatile?
Well, first off, he's a great guy. I think you and I will both admit. I know we have an interview clip coming up on from Art, and he is just a loving kind of teddy bear guy, but he has that switch when he's able to get out on the football field that turns him into one of the better young defensive lineman in the NFL. Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the 4th best available interior defensive lineman in this free agency class. He's 27 years old, which is youngest of those 4 players. And watching that All-22 video on Colts.com, he lines up in multiple spots and he makes plays in multiple ways. He can be a nose tackle in the 3-4. I think his more natural spot is maybe to play an end in the 3-4, and then on obvious passing downs, he can slide inside. He comes over from a Ravens defense that obviously is known for their defensive front and play that similar 3-4 scheme that Greg Minuski and Chuck Pagano have installed here in Indianapolis. At 6'4", or about 6'3", 315 pounds, he just adds another versatile part to this Colts defensive line. Throw him in there with Ricky Jean-Francois, Corey Redding, Feely Mo'ala, who was re-signed earlier in the week as well. That gives the Colts 4 guys that are very interchangeable. You can line them up in a multitude of ways. And Jones prides himself, I think, on stopping the run first and foremost and also getting after the quarterback. He had 4.5 sacks last year, which is pretty impressive for a guy that weighs 315 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, watching some of those highlights, he's a thrasher.
Right.
You know, they stun him, and obviously on a stunt, you're going with the full head of steam. And,
yeah.
You know, you get some breaks there. But really, just when he's up front at the line of scrimmage and when it comes to getting separation on guys, his strength is evident to anybody that doesn't know football.
And on Thursday, I was able to talk to his high school wrestling coach, and he talked about how Arthur won a state championship as a heavyweight as a sophomore, which I think is pretty unheard of for a sophomore to be winning a heavyweight state championship in any state. He grew up in just outside of Rochester, New York, and that was with about 800 schools, this coach was saying. So he won it as a sophomore, runner-up as a junior, won it again as a senior. And he said that Arthur, when he walks out to the mat, you see this big butt on him, these massive hips, but he was a great thrower. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where football comes into play. He's a great hand fighter. And we see that in a lot of the clips on Colts.com. In that video, he's able to, you know, shed blockers so easily. He's able to avoid cut blocks, stuff like that. He showed, I think, a great skill in both stopping the run and getting after the quarterback in obviously an obvious passing situation. So I think Arthur, I'm not sure if he'll start because you do bring back Corey Redding and Ricky Jean-Francois, and is he a true nose? I'm not 100%
Chapman
positive
back
on that exactly, but he will definitely play and play a lot of snaps for this team. He gives this team another young guy in the front seven, which is key for this defense to take that next step moving forward.
All right, so he's the older brother of Chandler Jones.
Correct.
Who's playing for the Patriots.
Right, Colts fans, unfortunately.
Yeah, we know
him
Chandler
pretty well.
Jones.
Yeah.
And he also has a younger brother
right.
who's a star on the UFC.
Exactly.
What's that all about?
John Jones, he's UFC light heavyweight champion. He's only about 6'4", 200 pounds. I can't believe I said only.
What the heck?
But Arthur, again, talking to his wrestling coach on Thursday, he said that this family is just a bunch of maulers when they get on the wrestling mat or get on the football field, but the nicest family you could ever imagine off of it. He said Arthur still comes back to his high school every day or every summer and talk to his kids. And Arthur mentioned on the conference call on Thursday that he could still whip John's butt. John Jones is his little brother who
I think a lot of
UFC fans know out there. He definitely
has some confidence.
He definitely has some a big time weight advantage over John at about
maybe he can just sit on
315 pounds exactly. But no, I think Arthur is a key guy to come in here. He raved about Chuck Pagano, especially Corey Redding. Big Head Red is what he called Corey. You know, he was a mentor for Arthur when he came out of Syracuse as a fifth round pick in 2010 and. Chuck Pagano, again, we talked about it earlier. He's a great recruiter, a great closer, and Arthur said when they had dinner on Tuesday night, he just kind of looked across the table and thought, this is the guy I want to be playing for. Arthur shaved his head for Chuck in 2012 for the Chuck Strong campaign, so I think it's one of those things where he's happy to be reunited with Chuck and Corey Redding, and he's anxious to win another Super Bowl championship like he won with Baltimore.
And he's a good interview, too.
Oh, terrific.
And that's all I care about.
Exactly.
Selfishly, that's
all that
matters
for us, right?
I talked to Arthur Jones earlier in the week, and I asked him how Jack up he is to be a Colt now.
Yeah, man, it's definitely a blessing, you know, be a part of a great organization, and you know, it feels like home, you know, and you know, I'm excited to see the get around the guys and meet the team, and you know, just to be here.
How much did your relationship with Coach Pagano, how much did that factor in your decision to come over?
Yeah, it was a no-brainer. You know, once I found Indy was one of the teams that was interested, you know, the passion that, you know, Coach Pagano brings every single day when he's my defensive coordinator in Baltimore, you know, the passion that he has, the love for the game, it was simple. You know, I told my agent to get it done, and then thank God they got it done, and I'm here.
And a chance to come over and play in a 3-4 defense with Corey Redding again, I'm sure has to be very exciting, too.
Absolutely. So for the people who don't know, Corey's nickname is Big Head Red. You guys got to get that trending. You know, that's something that he thought died in Baltimore. We're going to get it going here, Big Head Red. And, you know, he's a guy that's been a great mentor to me with Harry Swain, the mentoring program that they have in Baltimore. You know, Corey's my big brother, and he helped me develop so much, you know, teach me the game. The guy who I use as a resource throughout, you know, the last 4 years that I've been in the NFL. And, you know, once I called Corey and I had to let him know, yeah, this is where I'm going to be at, man. He was fired up, and we're excited to harass quarterback and running backs together once again.
And you're a very versatile player, a guy that can play multiple positions on the defensive line. Where do you think you work out best?
You know, wherever they use me at, you know, I went and Coach went over a game plan where they saw me at, and I don't want to give any secrets away. I guess you guys have to wait and see where I'm going to be at, and, you know, it's going to be fun. It's going to be, I'm going to try to bring a lot of energy and a lot of excitement and, you know, try to get the fans going, pumping up the crowd on third down, and, man, I'm just happy to be here and just to bring my energy over here.
Man, there's some really good players on this defense. DeQuell Jackson, Corey Redding, as we talked about, Robert Mathis in the back, LaRon Landry. This could be something special right now. We'll have to wait and see, but right now this is very exciting with you joining the defense, and something that was already good last year could be even better next year.
Oh, yeah, I think you guys said it best. You know, we're building that monster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hear that's a terminology that's
Absolutely.
Used around here a lot, and I'm happy to be aboard.
To the best of my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you've ever played a game at Lucas Oil Stadium.
I haven't.
So. That's something special. How much are you looking forward to that?
I am, man. I'm driving past the stadium yesterday, coming in, you know, it just gave me chills, you know, to have that uniform on, and I can just envision myself, you know, making plays on that field, and it might just send a rush to my whole body, and it's something I'm really looking forward to.
So weird to think that he's been around the league for 4 years and he hasn't played a game at Lucas Oil Stadium yet. So, I mean, obviously he's been here because of the combine and all that stuff, but to play a game in front of the blue hole that he called it is going to be something completely different for him. All right, let's transition from one defensive lineman to another. Let's quickly talk about the bringing back of Fili Mwalim for 1 year. Really is a guy that platooned a lot last year.
Yeah.
But he really likes playing in the 3-4, loves Greg Minuski and everything that he brings to the defense. Had shoulder problems last year, which ultimately ended his season. Was put on IR late in the playoffs before that divisional round against the New England Patriots. But this is just another guy, a good guy to bring back, and he's a core guy, knows the defense, and I only see plus signs here.
There aren't many guys left from the previous regime that are still in this defense, but Feely's done a nice job kind of adjusting from a 4-3 defensive tackle into a 3-4 end. He was a second-round pick back in 2009 out of USC, and again, like you mentioned, Matt, he did have the shoulder injury late in the season, but he was coming off a torn ACL and was able to play 16 games last year, and that was without really, I can't even think that, he didn't participate really in any part of training camp, and I don't think any preseason games off the top of my head, but again, he had a nice season, a career high in tackles. Again, I don't think he'll start next year, then Corey Redding and Ricky Jean-Francois will be your starters at those two end spots, but he's definitely going to play a lot for this team, and again, it gives you, brings back those four nice core guys in Francois, Redding, now Jones, and Fili Mwalim. Those are veterans. Those are 26 years of NFL experience in there. And for this Colts defense to take the next step, stop the run, do something that they couldn't do in the playoffs, those four are going to be playing key parts next year. So it's nice to have Fili back in the fold.
This is Horseshoe FAQ, frequently asked questions on the Indianapolis Colts. We're doing that, as always, with Kevin Bowen, our writer, insider from Colts.com. We do this every week, and this week it's a special online edition, free agency edition, and we still have so many more things to get to. Let's transition over to the offense and talk about Ahmad Bradshaw. The Colts thought wise enough to bring him back for at least one more season, and I'll be honest with you, I was surprised with this move. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, and Ahmad is, on paper, going to be your third running back behind Vic Beathard and Trent Richardson. Now, we'll see how things shake out, but that's the perception right now, that he's going to be number three, and he didn't stay healthy at all last year and has had trouble staying healthy the last couple years. But I love the re-signing because it shows faith in Ahmad's ability when he is healthy. 19 carries for 95 yards in that standout game he had in San Francisco, and for our number three running back, you're going to have to play special teams. I think Ahmad's okay with that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was surprised, but I like the move. What did you think?
I mean, he is the epitome of what Chuck Pagano and Ryan Grigson are looking for in that running nature, that hard-nosed, downhill, angry running style. We've talked about that 49ers game before where late in the fourth quarter he'd have big carry after big carry and look back to the sidelines and say, keep feeding me, keep feeding me. And 44 got the ball time after time against one of the best defenses in the NFL. I think when the free agency period started, he was kind of a forgotten guy, and I think that's where the surprise of the signing comes into it.
It was kind of
like, who's going to be the third running back? Is it going to be Donald Brown? Do you go with Boom Heron, a guy who played well on special teams last year for the Colts before getting injured? And in terms of the special teams, I think that's going to be the interesting part of this. Trent Richardson, Vic Beathard, Ahmad Bradshaw, whatever that order is, one of those guys in all likelihood is going to have to play
some special teams.
Yeah. In terms of 53-man roster, only dressing 46 guys, that third running back naturally has to play special teams. We saw with Heron last year, Donald Brown was your punt protector at the start of the year before injuries, obviously moved him up the running back depth chart. I think Beathard might be your most likely guy to play special teams because he's a younger guy. He was a fifth round pick back in 2012. I think he could be a guy that could play some special teams, whereas you kind of let Bradshaw in his 8 years of NFL experience, and in terms of he does have some injury problems, just kind of let him get the, you know, a dozen carries, a handful.
Okay.
Whatever.
Right. Fair enough. But
comes out to me.
But you understand what I'm saying?
No, definitely.
That's why it's going to be so interesting in training camp to see how the carries break down.
Definitely. No, I think that, and in this league, we've talked about it time and time again, Matt, Adrian Petersons do not grow on trees. You have to have multiple backs in this league. like I said earlier, Donald Brown was your pump protector at the start of the year, yeah. And then he turned into, you know,
Donald Brown.
One of the best seasons, really, exactly. In Colts franchise history from 5.3 yards per carry. But I do love bringing Bradshaw back. He brings that angry style. I think it'll rub off on Trent Richardson a little bit. And again, this is a guy that has played his best football in some of the biggest games. You know, he was the Giants' leading rusher in both their Super Bowl victories, had the game-winning score at Lucas Oil Stadium in that final minute. And I think it is a huge signing for this team just to have his presence back here. A tweet that I found interesting after the signing was Anthony Costanzo. Not a guy that tweets a ton by any means. He's not going to challenge Pat McAfee or Matt Overton for the most tweets on this team, but he went out of his way to say, I'm glad Ahmad's back. He brings that style that I think every offensive lineman loves blocking for. And I remember after that 49ers game, Anthony said, when you saw Ahmad come back into that huddle with that look in his eye, like, give me the you-know-what, he loved that. And as an offensive lineman, he wanted to block even harder and pave more holes for him. So I think having Bradshaw back is great for this team. Again, he's got Super Bowl experience, which on this offense, you don't have a lot of guys outside of Reggie Wayne and Matt Hasselbeck, really, that have any Super Bowl experience. So I think it's nice to have him back in the fold, and that's going to be great to watch how this is going to unfold in terms of training camp, where the carry is going to be split up. But definitely for this Colts offense wanting to establish the run, it's a pretty good core you have in Ballard, Richardson, and Bradshaw.
Yep, speaking of core, the special teams core is back. Can't forget about that phase of the game. Yep. Very important, and you can argue that won the Colts a couple of games, especially with the right foot of Adam Vinatieri. So we got Adam back, Pat's back. We also have Sergio Brown back for another season, and Sergio was integral in Pat McAfee's franchise record-setting 27 punts down inside the 20-yard line. Let's start first and talk about Vinatieri.
Mm-hmm.
2 years, we obviously know how old he is, 41. Right. You know, let's not debate whether or not we think he's going to retire at the end of the 2 years, but let's talk about his free agency. How close do you think he was in leaving the Colts?
I don't think that much, just because this is a guy that has a family. He has kids here. He's played for two NFL teams. If he fills out this Colts contract, that'll be 10 years here in Indianapolis. He had 10 years in New England. A guy of his age doesn't want to move. But at the same time, I think if the Colts wouldn't have made an offer, he would have gone to play somewhere else. He's talked about, you know, he's got plenty of lead in that pencil. That's kind of his favorite line that he likes to use when he's able to make, you know, I think he had 4 50-yard field goals last year. He had 19 of at least 40 yards. So it is no question of leg strength for this guy. I can't think of anybody in NFL history I'd rather want to trot out there in January or February to kick a meaningful field goal. And one thing I found interesting in the conference call with Adam is he's fifth all-time in points in the NFL, and he talked about guys above him on that list, Morton Anderson and Gary Anderson, two guys that played until they were 47 and 46, respectively. Adam will turn 42 in December, like you mentioned, Matt. So I think it's one thing that he definitely wants to add a fifth Super Bowl title and tie, I believe, Charles Haley for the most Super Bowl rings of anyone in NFL history, player-wise. So Adam has those team goals individually as well. He is in striking distance of some of those, you know, records that I don't think people would ever see reach. So the fact that Morton and Gary played till they were 47, 46, I think gives Adam that drive at the age of 42. And I think having Pat McAfee in his ear every day, Pat talks about how great it is to hold for a Hall of Fame kicker. I think Adam really loves the culture that is here in Indianapolis. And I think he's still a little bit, you know, I remember in the last Super Bowl, Matt Stover was the Colts kicker in that Super Bowl. He has that itch to get back to playing at that highest level, play for the ultimate prize, and obviously he's performed extremely well on the game's grandest stage.
Well, Adam Vinatieri is another guy I was able to catch up with earlier in the week, and I asked him how pumped up he is to be coming back to the Colts.
Definitely probably more excited than any other fan or any other person in the city. This is exactly where I wanted to be. It's where I wanted to finish my career, and I think this team is set up really good to continue the legacy that this team's been doing thus far, and that's going to the playoffs and winning championships, and there's no place I'd rather be than right here today.
If you can, talk a little bit about how the anxiety is off you now. The pressure is off. You're no longer a free agent, and now you can just kind of concentrate on what's important, and that's kicking field goals for the Colts.
No, for sure. You know, free agency is a fun time. It's when you get your team and other teams bidding for you. But it was an unfair advantage for the Colts because I didn't really want to go anywhere else. So it was an easy decision for me. Hopefully it was an easy decision for them, too, to keep me around. And I couldn't be any happier. I didn't even want to really talk to the other teams. I wanted to stay here, and I'm glad we got it done.
And this comes a couple of days after Pat McAfee signs his extension. How important do you think it was to keep you guys together? Because it seems like you have great rapport with you handling the kicking duties, him handling the punting duties, but he's also a very good holder for you.
Absolutely. We get along great. I mean, us three amigos, Matt Overton being there with us too. It's just a real comfortable atmosphere for the three of us. We trust each other. We know that, you know, I mean, gosh, Pat's such a He's such a weapon for our team, and as far as pinning teams down inside the 20, his kickoffs, his tackling ability, and all that stuff. So it was awesome to have him here, and it's great to be his teammate for another couple of years too.
Well, I don't think we have to remind people how long you've been around and been successful in the league. But you had one of your best years of your career last year, 35 of 40 field goals, and seems like that right leg of yours is never getting tired. What is your secret? How have you been able to sustain all of this success?
Well, I think consistency is the key, and for me, the older I get, the more I do the little things, going into the training room, and you know, you wake up in the morning sometimes with little aches and pains, but you make sure you do everything you can to get those gone, and that's just all the little stuff. That's stretching, that's getting extra treatment, it's eating right, it's getting plenty of sleep, it's all the things that make you a professional, and I think our team's really good about that. I mean, we know what it takes to be successful, and I think our team's very very good at doing what they need to do, and myself included, hopefully.
All right, so that's Adam Vinatieri again, being excited to have Sergio Brown and especially Pat McAfee back for another couple of seasons. Obviously, Pat has done a nice job of arguably elongating Adam's career by handling the kicking off duties, and obviously they have a good rapport with one another as holder and kicker respectively. But let's talk more about Sergio. And Sergio obviously has made his mark on this team so far as a special teams ace.
Right.
But as we talked about earlier in the podcast, Antoine Bethea's departure to San Francisco leaves a hole as of right now at one of the safety positions opposite of LaRon Landry. What do you think about Sergio's chances of starting next year?
Well, I'll give Sergio credit. I mean, it wasn't really like we kind of let him into that answer. He kind of went out of his way to talk about how he wants to be a starting safety. He loves that Colts fans know him as a special teams ace. And again, he got Pro Bowl consideration this past offseason before an injury late in the year kind of hampered that. But yep, he sees the opportunity there. And this is a guy that has been to the playoffs in all four of his NFL seasons, two with the Patriots and the last two here with the Colts. He wants to become a starting safety next to LaRon Landry. He talked about Delano Howell and him. He thinks we'll have that opportunity next year. As of now, those are kind of, I think, the front runners at that spot. Delano Howell obviously starting some games this past season when LaRon Landry was sidelined with that toe injury. But Sergio's definitely going to have to prove himself. He played only 26 defensive snaps this past season, whereas he played over 300 on special teams. But if his gunner ability is anything like he can, you know, run down running backs coming out of the backfield and whatnot, I think Sergio could fit in into the safety mix. It'd be interesting to see how that plays out. Obviously, Delano Howell, who's an undrafted free agent back in 2012, came over from Buffalo late in the season, has carved more of a role out as a defensive guy on this team, where Sergio has been one of the elite gunners in the NFL. So that, I think, is your biggest area of need right now on the defensive side of the ball. Nose tackle Abreu Franklin is still a free agent, so you don't have an incumbent starter there. Looks like DeQuell Jackson will be in the mix at that inside linebacker spot. You bring back Vontae Davis, so really safety and nose guard right now are the two spots where your 2013 starter is not back. So Sergio Brown is definitely going to have a say in who is at that starting spot along with Delano Howell.
Yeah, let's hear from the man himself. We caught up, Kevin and I did, earlier in the week with Sergio, and we asked him about that door that's opened up right now with Antoine Bethea leaving and his chances of possibly starting next year at one of the safety positions for the Colts.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely opens up more opportunity for me. And I mean, Antoine was a great player for the Indianapolis Colts, and I'm happy for his deal and everything that he's done for the organization. But, you know, it attracted me to come back to Indy when you figure out that Antoine might be back, because it has more opportunity for me to grow as a defender. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, just to be honest, like if LeBron and Antoine are there, those are the two starters.
Mm-hmm.
But now that Antoine isn't there, it's able for me, Delano, and whoever else is out there to compete, you know what I'm saying, for that other starting spot. You know, and it's just really it's really exciting for me, and I'm sure it's exciting for Delano as well to really go out there and try to show everybody and definitely everybody in the Colts Nation what we have to offer to be a starting safety in the NFL.
All right, so best of luck to Sergio Brown in his endeavor to possibly be the Colts starting strong safety, free safety, or some sort of combination there next season. And obviously OTAs and training camp is going to be an audition for him. And the Colts can still make moves as far as free agents or drafting a safety. So we're still not sure how that's going to shake out, but Sergio Brown will be in the mix. Let's talk about Antoine leaving a little bit.
Right.
Antoine and Donald Brown are obviously the two biggest names that are free agent casualties, mm-hmm. because you can't sign everybody.
No.
And every year you're going to have a couple of guys that were huge for, you know, the success of your team. And because of that success, it comes with some consequences.
Yeah.
It's like losing coaches in the offseason. So Donald Brown signs a contract to go play running back for the San Diego Chargers. Mm-hmm. Antoine gets a really good deal to play safety for the San Francisco 49ers. Unfortunately for the Colts, they couldn't bring him back, but good for those guys because they're doing what they think is best for them, and they're going to two pretty good situations.
Right, both the playoff teams, and Antoine in particular goes to one of the best defenses in the NFL. Looks like he'll fill in for Dante Whitner, free agent that left the 49ers back there. So Antoine will start next to Eric Reed, who's a Pro Bowler as a rookie. He goes out there to Jim Harbaugh. The Colts obviously won't see him for several years unless it is in the Super Bowl. But yes, it's a great deal for Antoine. He'll be 31 this summer, and he's heading into his ninth NFL season. So I think to get this big contract, and probably in all likelihood will be one of his final contracts here in the NFL, and he still has a terrific chance to capture a Super Bowl. This is a guy that, again, we've talked about in the past, Matt. This is a guy you could pencil in every week. The last time you missed a start was the 2007 season. He was so durable for this team back there. He played 96 straight games, the longest active streak of any safety in the NFL. Good for Antoine, definitely to sign him, and you know, who knows, maybe the Colts will see him in Glendale, Arizona here in February.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be something, wouldn't it? That'd be a lot of fun. Okay, now, there are a couple of rumors out there, and again, we're taping this in the morning on Friday, so if things happen a little bit later in the day, you're going to obviously have to excuse this conversation. One of those rumors is Akeem Nicks. He's going to be in the building, and we are seeing reports that the Carolina Panthers are involved with talks as well. I saw a report earlier that Carolina has an offer, a multi-year offer on the table of $4.5 million. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if the Colts can match that or if they're going to match that. But we do know one guy that is in for next year is Phil Costa, a center. And obviously the Colts need a center because they let go of Samson Sotelli last week. You know, Costa really doesn't come with a lot of fanfare.
No.
But I think it's a good move because he has played and he has started for the Dallas Cowboys. What do we know about Phil Costa, and is this the solution for the Colts at center? Because we're also hearing reports that Indianapolis is still in talks with Alex Mack from the Cleveland Browns. So where are we as far as the center goes?
I think Ryan Grigson made it pretty clear in his quote in the team press release yesterday that Phil's going to add great competition to the starting center spot in terms of that specific competition.
Yeah.
So I think he's a guy that you throw in the mix. He started 16 games in 2011 with the Cowboys. An ankle injury kind of hurt him the past couple of years. He only played in six games, only with three starts. The Cowboys drafted Travis Frederick out of Wisconsin the first round last year, and he became their starting center. He has played some guard in his day, but again, I think he's a name that you'll add to the mix. And in terms of the Mack situation, if you do make an offer to Mack, it takes a week for the Browns to match that. So it's one of those things.
Yeah, they have the transition tag on them.
Exactly. So they can still match that, and a week is a long, long time in the NFL free agency and the NFL period. So if you let Costa walk now, in a week, he could be on a totally different team. So yeah. I think that was the biggest thing, was to lock him up, have that insurance policy. If something doesn't work out, then you have a guy that has been an NFL starter. The Cowboys had one of their best offensive seasons in a while when he was there snapping to Tony Romo. So I think that is kind of the biggest thing, where you see Costa, throw him into the mix. You have Thomas Austin, Khalid Holmes already on the roster as well. And he's a nice, I think, insurance policy in terms of a starting. He will be a guy that will be in the mix and has some NFL experience, but I think the Colts will still actively try and find another center just to create more competition at that center spot.
Man, we are talking all things Colts with Kevin Bowen, writer, insider, Colts.com. This is Horseshoe FAQ, frequently asked questions on the Colts, a special free agent edition of the podcast, and this is Friday morning. I'm Matt Taylor inside the Taco Bell studio. Let's go around the league right now and talk more about free agency outside of this building, and welcome in Ryan Wilson, NFL insider from CBSSports.com. And Ryan, first off, appreciate your time. I know it's a busy time, so thank you so much for spending a couple minutes with us. Let's talk big picture here first. Which teams do you think effectively got much better, in your opinion, because of their free agent moves?
Well, that's a good question, and here's the deal, and this is the conversation we usually have when we're talking about the early days of free agency. It doesn't necessarily mean because you are super busy in the hours after you're free assigned people that you're going to magically be better. We've seen this before. We saw last year the Dolphins went crazy. They got Mike Wallace early, and they signed a whole bunch of guys, and on paper they look great. That turned out not to be so much the case. That said, the Dolphins were again busy in free agency. We'll have to see how that plays out. But I think you have to look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and say, this team has a whole new front office, whole new coaching staff, and they went out and tried to make them this team now look more like Lovie Smith's teams we saw in Chicago. So they got rid of Darrelle Revis, which is, it's hard to say that a team dumps Darrelle Revis and gets better. But they got rid of Revis. They don't want to spend the $16 million. They found instead Altron Burner, the former Titans, excuse me, cornerback, who is younger and cheaper and fits more what Lovie likes to do in that cover two scheme. They got a quarterback in Josh McCown, who was teaching high school 2 years ago, but he actually played really well last year for Chicago, and there were some conversations about whether he should be the starter when Cutler came back from injury. So he'll be the – it looks like he's going to start in Tampa, which is interesting. Lovie made that comment the other day at the press conference, even though they have Mike Glennon, who played really well down the stretch and in a pretty tough situation in Tampa Bay then. But it looks like McCown will be the guy there, and they signed some other guys, Anthony Collins. Michael Johnson is the pass rusher that Lovie likes to have. So on paper, at least, midway through March, I think the Bucs did a pretty good job. Of course, we'll have to see what happens in the coming weeks and months.
Ryan, you mentioned Darrelle Revis, and for Colts fans, the cornerback position has been an interesting one to watch during the free agency period. Vontae Davis re-signed for 4 years. Did you expect the cornerback market to be in such a demand and this high? We've seen Tlaib, Revis, maybe even Brandon Browner here to the Patriots. Did you kind of expect to see the cornerbacks get this much money and this much play early in free agency?
I wasn't so much shocked by the Revis news that they wanted to trade him, because Revis seems to be like a guy who can stay someplace 1 or 2 years that he needs to get out because he wants money, and I get that. I was really shocked by the Tlaib move to Denver, and we found out later, according to a Pro Football Talk report, that the Broncos had $54 million on the table for Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, and for some reason, I don't know if his hands quit working, he didn't sign the contract. So they went and got Tlaib, and they pulled DRC's offer, and now he's looking for work. So that was a shocking move. I think it made a lot of sense for the Colts to get Vontae Davis. He's a good young player, and that's what you need in order for that defense to continue to improve. I was shocked that Burner didn't get as much money as maybe we thought he would, but again, he's a cover two guy. He's not going to be a guy who plays like Reeves and impresses you at the line of scrimmage. But there's still guys out there who are veteran guys who will probably get picked up and will probably help teams. Antonio Cromartie was cut by the Jets. Charles Tillman played for Lovie Smith in Chicago, and it wouldn't be outlandish to think that he lands in Tampa Bay too. Captain Munnerly, another good young player, just signed with Minnesota. So, I mean, this is an important part of the puzzle when you put a team together with the way offense are evolving and passing games are evolving. You certainly need a shutdown corner, so to speak. And these moves, I think, in general, made each of these teams better, but I was shocked by the news that Tlaib got all that money.
And another big story here has been a guy that actually went to school a little south of here at Indiana University, and Roger Saffold, and pretty much saga between going to Oakland, failing his physical there, and now he's back with the Rams. Have you ever seen a story like this in free agency? And for fans out there, can you kind of explain the physical process on how it is pretty subjective between the Rams and the Raiders in terms of if he passes or not?
Right. So the Raiders entered free agency with about $64 million in cap space, which is unheard of. That's how you...
Ryan, they don't want him anymore. They said, this is a bad deal. Get out of here. That's what they said, right? I mean, this has nothing to do with the physical. Am I wrong?
I think it was a disconnect between the front office, Reggie McKenzie, and the owner, Mark Davis. I think what happened, Mark Davis's bowl cut hair in his ears. He didn't hear the exact conversation they were having. And by the end of the afternoon, he said, no more on Saffold. Well, what happened was, so they signed Saffold to a 5-year, $42 million deal after letting Jared Bell here go to Arizona, who arguably might be a better player for less money. So a day after they signed Saffold, he failed his physical, quote unquote. And you're exactly right. It is subjective. The team doctor can say, Damian Woody, who played for the NFL for a long time as an offensive lineman, tweeted this out. He said, look, this is so subjective. A guy can show up with a wooden leg and he can pass his physical if they want him to. And another guy can show up with a hangnail and they're going to cut him. And, you know, they'll fail the physical if they don't want him. And I think that's what happened. I don't know how in 24 hours the ownership decided that they didn't want Saffold. But the good news is, at least in the short term, is that they're not putting all that money in Saffold, who struggled recently with the Rams. He wasn't worth that contract, most likely. So now they have that money. They can focus it on other needs. They went out and got Justin Tuck. They got Lamar Woodley on relatively affordable deals. But because this is the Raiders, you wouldn't necessarily be surprised if they paid someone like Robert Gallery $42 million to come out of retirement and play left tackle. But right, so it's completely subjective. You can do whatever you want after you sign, agree to terms, quote unquote, before you sign the guy, if you for some reason have buyer's remorse or second thoughts.
Yeah, Ryan Wilson is our guest, NFL insider from CBSSports.com. We're talking NFL free agency, and we talked a lot about what the Denver Broncos have done so far with their cornerback situation. Let's stay in Denver and talk about Eric Decker. Are you surprised that the Broncos didn't even offer anything to Decker? They just let him walk with not even getting involved with him at all? And on the flip side of that, what do you think his production is going to be now that he's a New York Jet? Do you think it decreases at all now that he's in a not Peyton Manning-led offense?
No, that's right. I wasn't surprised that the Broncos didn't go after him. They have a lot of money tied up in Peyton Manning, and they had other needs to address. They got Tlaib, they got T.J. Ward, they got a pass rusher, and these are all things that were glaringly obvious in that Super Bowl. And Don Elway even mentioned that we're going to get tougher and we're going to have more energy on defense, and that's exactly what he went out and did. DeMarcus Ware, the pass rusher, his name I momentarily forgot, he's sort of important. Yep. But as far as Decker goes, yeah, look, the market is set because he was the biggest name free agent. So there was speculation that he might get $7 or $8 million, which sounds absurd. Not because he's not a good player, but he's in a system where everyone benefits, everyone catches passes, everyone gets yards after catch. So he got $7 million with the Jets, a team desperate for wide receiver help. So that makes sense on some level. Golden Tate got about $6.3 million with the Lions. I like Tate better as a player. But neither guy is a number one, and I think Tate's in a much better situation playing opposite Megatron as opposed to Decker now having to catch passes thrown generally in his direction by Geno Smith, who struggled a little bit last year. So, you know, it's going to be a completely different ball game, and we might want to look back at his output with Tim Tebow and probably have some idea of how things might work with Geno Smith, which is to say he'll be a good player, he won't be a great player, and he's not worth $7 million a year, but 2 years from now, the Jets can decide to restructure or go in another direction if they choose. But they needed help. They desperately needed help at wide receiver, and he was the best on the market.
Ryan, you mentioned Eric Decker. His name was thrown around in the Colts world. Hakeem Nicks is scheduled to come in for a visit later today here to the Colts complex. Your thoughts on him? He's battled some injuries. The past couple of years hasn't had the same type of seasons that he had in 2010, 2011, but he was a huge part of that Giants Super Bowl run and led them in receiving in that Super Bowl game here at Lucas Oil Stadium. What are your thoughts on Hakeem Nicks?
On paper, I like Nicks a lot, but we just have to figure out, Ryan Grigson has to figure out and Chuck Pagano, whether he has anything left in the tank physically, because that's how he catches passes. That's how he gets open. He's not going to beat you in a foot race, but he's super physical. He can go across the middle. He can go deep and make plays down the field, sort of in an Anquan Boldin type situation. And that's certainly something every team would love to have. But I just don't know physically if he's there. He struggled last year in his contract year, and that has to open some eyes. He didn't score one touchdown. But that said, he's an upgrade over Darius Haywood Bay. I don't think anyone would argue with that. And Reggie Wayne coming back, and then you have two veterans that can help Andrew Luck even more. I like him on paper. I like him for the right price. We're not talking anywhere near Golden Tate money, anywhere near Eric Decker money. Maybe even a one-year deal if he's amenable to it, with a lot of incentives that say, look, brother, if you play well, you can make money, and then you can pull Darrell Revis and go out and make even more money next year. But I wouldn't invest too much long-term, especially with this being one of the deepest drafts a lot of executives have ever seen in terms of the wide receiver. So I like him with caveats.
All right, closing things out here with Ryan Wilson, insider for the NFL, on the NFL from CBSSports.com. Speaking of guys that do or do not have anything left in the tank, what do you think about Steve Smith?
Here's the thing about Steve Smith. I like Steve Smith in with the Ravens, and I'll tell you why. Early in Joe Flacco's career, they signed Derek Mason, who had been with the Titans forever. He was an old-timer by the time he got to Baltimore, and he had a resurgence. He and Flacco were always on the same page. He was sort of Flacco's security blanket, even when Todd Heap was there. So I think Smith can serve in a similar role, and he also brings some leadership. Now, whether it's too much leadership, that's another question, because I know by the end of Ray Lewis's tenure, Flacco had enough of all the rah-rah pep talks. So he would probably, I don't know how that would mesh. But on in terms of what he could do on the field, I think Smith would be a great addition to go along with Dennis Pitta, and then Torrey Smith makes his job even easier.
Ryan, we're now approaching about the 72-hour mark in 2014 free agency process. Any surprises out there on people that are still out there on the market? Do you think any of those would be nabbed quick? And just how, are there any names out there that you're kind of shocked haven't been signed yet?
Well, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie is still out there. He had a chance to sign a $50 million deal. He chose not to. Jared Allen, you know, people think Jared Allen is 50 years old. He's only 31, and he still has something left. I'm sure money's an issue. Julius Peppers out there. It'll be interesting to see where Michael Vick goes. The Jets were speculated as a possible destination to challenge Geno Smith, and on some level that makes sense. We haven't seen hardly any talk of running backs. I know the Colts re-signed Ahmad Bradshaw, but in terms of the bigger name, younger guys, Ben Tate's still out there. Sean Moreno, and then, of course, MJD from formerly the Jacksonville Jaguars. So those are names that we all know, and it's sort of wondering where these guys might end up. I assume in the coming weeks they'll land somewhere, probably not for the money they were hoping for initially.
Yes, sir. It's a fun time of year. NFL free agency, it's a busy time, and we appreciate Ryan Wilson's time. I know you're very busy, so thank you so much for taking a couple of minutes to talk to us, and we hope to catch up with you soon down the road.
Absolutely. Anytime. Thanks, guys.
That, again, is Ryan Wilson, NFL insider from CBSSports.com. We thank him for taking some time out of what is assuredly a busy time of year for him and all of us that cover the NFL. And he talked about a couple of guys that he thinks is surprising that are still on the market. Let's hone back in on the Colts now. Mm-hmm. What's left for us? I mean, I'm not a math major, and I don't do math in public. I'm not smart enough to keep track of all these numbers. But you would think that the Colts are pretty much done as far as free agency goes because they don't have a lot of money left, or am I wrong in saying that? Is there still a little bit of wiggle room there?
Yeah, definitely. I think there is still, I wouldn't say a lot of wiggle room, but I think you have the ability to make some things work in terms of getting, you know, one or two more significant pieces to this puzzle. Again, you still have to save some money for draft picks in May and some undrafted free agents after that. And again, I go back to last year when a guy like Darius Heyward-Bey wasn't signed till April. Ahmad Bradshaw wasn't signed till June.
Yeah, right.
You had littler deals to Josh McNary, Daniel Adongo. I even think Matt Hasselbeck was in more of this range a couple days after the free agency period opened. So again, Hakeem Nicks in this building earlier today. Again, we don't know as of this time whether or not he is a Colt or not, but he's an intriguing piece. We talked about him earlier. Carolina's where he just left, and I think it's one of those things where he mentioned earlier, he talked to Josina Anderson of ESPN, and Cam Newton, Phillip Rivers, and Andrew Luck were three quarterbacks that he kind of singled out. And Carolina would seem to make the most sense in the sense of they are losing Steve Smith. They don't have, I don't think, any receivers under contract on their roster that caught a pass last year. So you would think that would be the ideal spot for him. Cam Newton obviously is a great young quarterback. This is a playoff team that got a bye in the NFC last year. But he's visiting the Colts. We'll see what happens. He obviously had some success in the stadium in the Super Bowl. He caught 10 catches for 109 yards, similar to Ahmad Bradshaw in the sense of having a pretty good game there in that Super Bowl victory over the Patriots. He has battled some injuries, so that'll be interesting to watch to see if he can gain, you know, get back to that form when he was back-to-back 1,000-yard receiver in 2010 and 2011. But the interesting storyline in the Colts and their pursuit of Nicks is his position coach from North Carolina, where he went to college. Charlie Williams is the Colts receivers coach.
Yeah.
So I think that relationship definitely helps things. And again, I go back to every time it seems like the Colts bring a guy in for a visit, the deal seems to be almost done.
Yeah.
So I think the Colts organization aren't just going to bring you in here if they don't think they have a great chance of signing you. So if he leaves the Colts without a contract or without, you know, ink drying on that paper, then I think he will head somewhere else. But it'll be interesting to see. Again, receiver, center, like you mentioned, Alex Mack. There are some reports out there that he has been in talks with the Colts. And then on the other side of the football, nose guard and safety are your two spots where Abreu, Franklin, Antoine Bethea aren't back. So you got to think Colts are still sending some feelers at both those spots.
And anytime you can liken Ryan Grigson to Mariano Rivera, I'm in, brother. Nicely done. The closer.
I mean, it really is. I mean, it is hard for me to think of guys that have been in this building for visits.
Yep.
And it's a high percentage. I mean, seems like
their search is over. It's like buying a house.
Right. It was like DeQuell Jackson visits Tennessee, visits Miami. He went to Denver. Peyton Manning met with him out there. He comes here, and it's a done deal. So
like
Ryan Grigson, Chuck Pagano channeling their inner Mariano Rivera, to say the least. Enter Sandman should be playing when these guys walk into the Indiana Farm Bureau Football Center.
Nicely done as we close with the Sandman. Free agency is not done yet. Keep your eyes and your ears out the rest of the weekend. Maybe the Colts have some moves left in them after all. Thanks for listening, everybody, to a special online edition of Horseshoe FAQ. We'll be back for another off-season breakdown on the Colts next Friday night, and I'm sure we'll have plenty to talk about in between them. For Kevin Bowen, I'm Matt Taylor. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you next Friday. Thanks for listening to Horseshoe FAQ.